Now, in a functioning mythology, I mean, in a traditionally based mythological culture, the mythology serves essentially four fundamental functions. The first of these I would call the mystical function. It is that of arousing and maintaining in the individual a sense of awe and gratitude before what is and will forever remain the mystery of being, the mystery of the universe. When you consider what you behold when you look at the world, this is not an easy mystery to affirm. For hundreds of thousands of years, millions of years, before eyes opened to behold what was going on, there was the field of life. And when eyes opened, what did they behold? They beheld life living on life. Now, the first function of primitive mythologies is to teach you to affirm that. That's the essence of the whole thing. About the 8th century BC or so, there came what I call the great reversal. People of a certain sensitivity and sensibility found that this was a horror they could not affirm. Schopenhauer said, "Life is something that should not have been." And there are people, many, who find it so horrible they would retreat from it. And at that time, there came into being mythologies of retreat, dismissal, renunciation, life denial. The third system emerges, as far as I know, as far as the documents tell, in Zoroastrianism, and we don't know what the dates were, perhaps the 11th century BC, perhaps the 7th, where the notion appears of a deity who created a perfect world, and this world was then destroyed or rendered negative by a negative power, Ahura Mazda, the Lord of Light and Truth, creates a world, and Angra Mainyu, the Lord of the Lie and Deception, destroys it. And now there is in process a process of restoration, and you can participate in that restoration by favoring in your life and deeds the good against the evil, and through this gradually restore the good world. You will recognize this as something that has come to us by way of the late stages in the biblical tradition and in the Christian tradition of the fall and the restoration. These, as far as I know, are the three main mythological points of view in the high cultures. One of altogether affirming, another of altogether rejecting, and a third of saying, "I will affirm the world when it gets to be the way I think it should be." The popular secularization of this last position is that, of course, of the world-reforming attitude that we recognize around us. The second function of a traditional mythology I call the cosmological. It is that of rendering an image of the universe through which this sense of the mystery will be experienced, so that the whole world should become, as it were, a holy picture, an icon, opening up in the back, so to say, to its mystery, holding in our minds everywhere that we look this sense of the wondrous mystery of being. The third function of a traditional mythological system is the sociological. That is to say, to validate and maintain a certain specific social order. And the usual way of doing this is by declaring that the being who created the universe also created the good social order. For example, in the biblical tradition, where there is the idea of a God who creates the world, that same God is supposed to have delivered to Moses on Mount Sinai the laws, the Ten Commandments and so forth. And these are unassailable laws, just as the laws of the universe are. You cannot change these. You cannot go against them except to your own destruction. Similarly, in India, where you do not have the idea of a creator God, but of an impersonal power that brings the universe into being and takes it away again, sends it forth and takes it back again, sends it forth and takes it back again. You have the notion that part and parcel of this universal order are the laws that govern the different species of animals and plants, and the laws of the Indian social order, the caste system. These cannot be changed. They are part and parcel of the universal order. The fourth and final function of a traditional mythology I call the psychological. It is that of carrying the individual through the stages of his life from the dependency of childhood to the responsibilities of adulthood in terms of his local culture requirements, and then to carry him out the final door.